And good morning and welcome to another season of Coach's Corner. We're at Applebee's here on the Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, and we're very happy to be back at Applebee's, a great partnership we have with the restaurant here in Sioux St. Marie. They're open for lunch and, of course, dinner later today, and they open up at 11 a.m. right before we go on the air, and it's great to be back at Applebee's. Coach's Corner will run all the way through March, and, of course, we'll have great interviews, local and regional, throughout the course of every Saturday, 11.05 a.m. till noon. I'm your host for the majority of them as we'll navigate through our Coach's Corner season. And it's great to be back here at Applebee's and also here on Coach's Corner with you here on 1230 WSOO. And we will be interviewing, as I said, local and regional guests throughout the course of every Saturday. And today, we'll chat with Sioux High head football coach Scott Menard, a happy coach coming off a huge win in the opening game against the Escanaba Eskimos the other night as the Blue Devils defeated Escanaba 46-19. And we'll talk to the coach about the game and about the team, and we'll delve into all that with Coach Menard throughout the course of our Coach's Corner Hour coming up. But first, to the scores that matter from last night. St. Ignace gets a win as they win past Tawas 26-6, a big win for the Saints in Northern Michigan Football Conference play, 26-6 win for St. Ignace. Rapid River grounds Engadine 40-22. Sheboygan buries Lake City. They put up 52 points in the old River Town against Lake City, 52-26. Sounds like an improved Chiefs team there. Traverse City, St. Francis squeaks, or trounces rather, Ogama Heights 42-19 at Thurlby Field. Gaylord nips Lake Fenton 15-14. Midland squeaks by Cadillac 27-21. Traverse City West wins a defensive battle over Marquette 7-0. It was Gladstone stomping Calumet 42-13. Ishpeming blanks Manistique 34-0. Kingsford shuts out Green Bay East 56-0. Menominee wins the famed M&M game 40-6 over Marinette. Burke River Harris drops Gwynn 46-16. Northland Pines, Wisconsin 19-0 past West Iron County. Houghton nips Ishpeming West Iron County, or rather West Iron County of Iron River, I should say, 14-12. Mid-Peninsula rebooted their football program, a bit controversial over there in Rock, Michigan, as they had a co-op program with Munising. Well, it's a long way to go for their program. I don't know if you folks caught the score. The Wolverines lost their opener last night to Wild Rose, Wisconsin, 90-0 in eight-man football. North Central drills Ironwood 76-0. Norway clobbers North Dickinson 60-6. Crystal Falls Forest Park trips up Stevenson last night in a tight-fisted game 8-6. Sioux High Soccer, they are already up and running. Al MacArthur's team was in Harbor Springs yesterday for a tournament. They were shut out by the Rams, the host school, 2-0. Blue Devils continue play today as they will be at Alpena for the Wildcat Tournament. Good luck to the Sioux High soccer team. Women's college volleyball, as the Lakers fall to NMU, or rather at the NMU Open, and dropping a 3-1 match to Central Oklahoma. Former Blue Devil Jordan Haller leading the way, 16 kills. Lake State continuing to play today at Northern Michigan, battling Minnesota Crookston right now, and then Bemidji State later. Lake State cross country gets going today in Marquette with the Wildcat Husky Laker Challenge. New head coach Tony Filipek takes the reins. Also head coach of the track team, at track and field team, Tony is. His wife, Danny, is an assistant coach. The Filipeks were assistants, if you recall, a few years ago during the 2018 campaign at Lake State for cross country and track and field. Those are the scores that matter. When we return, Blue Devil head football coach Scott Menard will join us. This is Coach's Corner at Applebee's, and we're back in a moment on 1230 WSOO. And we're back here on Coach's Corner at Applebee's, our first corner of the year. A beautiful day here in Sault Ste. Marie. Come on down and have some lunch. They just opened a few minutes ago here, right before we went on the air. I'm your host to Coach's Corner. This is, of course, our first show of the year. I'm Dave Watson, and here on the corner today, as we do every year, we try to open up with Coach Menard, and this is perfect because it's coming off a win,
yes,
and a big win. And we were talking about, we don't know the last time, if it happened, that Sioux High won at Escanaba, and the Blue Devils did that the other night convincingly, 46-19. And I don't care what Escanaba has going on with their program, anytime you can beat the Eskimos in football, that's a pin on the hat, no question about it. And we were pretty excited the other night. Coach Menard joins us. Thanks, Scotty, for taking time. And it was a good win the other night to start the year.
You know, it was, Dave. And, you know, one of the things, I got to tell you that we had a little bit of extra motivation, and I'll reveal this now.
Yep.
The local TV station, I think it was TV6, had done some interviews with some Escanaba seniors, and they were, one of the boys was asked, you know, the fact that they had had a tough schedule. And the kid came out and probably didn't know what he was saying, but he said, yeah, we have Cadillac week two. We really got a tough schedule. And all our kids heard that, you know, and they sent it to me. And the
bulletin
coaches,
board.
Yes. And so I made a few copies of that quote, and I put it in our boys' lockers. And
so happened to make it there.
It just so happened to be, yeah. But, you know, just in general, Dave, I mean, motivation aside, you know, we just got a lot of hungry guys right now that are ready to play, and they just couldn't wait to get to Escanaba. And I just thought that, you know, after we got rid of that first quarter and had a couple mistakes, I thought we really acclimated ourselves very well, and I think our strengths really showed.
You know, you look at it, that first half, nip and tuck half, it was a case of, I said on the air, Ryan Wolin and I, Ryan, of course, did a tremendous job and will be with us throughout the course of the season as our football analyst and a former player for Scotty and coaching the 7th and 8th grade Sioux Giants program. But I said to Ryan, I said, this is a case of, you know, Escanaba, you know, can't run the ball, and then we're having difficulty defending the pass. That was pretty much the case of the first half. And Escanaba got to the point, you know, as the game went on, Ryan pointed it out a couple times, didn't even try to run the football after it wasn't working. And they have gone to a spread offense. See how that goes there. I think if they don't start winning some games, I said this on the air, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be a lot of chatter because, you know, the traditionalists over there, you know how they are.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, too, you know how October gets anywhere in the Upper Peninsula. And that's a tough offense to have to run, you know, in the middle and late fall. So, well, but, you know.
One thing I was going to ask you off the air, and since we're kind of talking about it a little bit now, I found it interesting, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is just, you know, I'm kind of a novice when it comes to grass because I'm, you know.
That the grass was long?
Yeah, yes. And we're going to run a spread offense. I came out to talk to you briefly because it was kind of hectic.
Right.
And I'm like, you're running a spread offense that's predicated on speed, and the grass went all the way up over your shoe tops.
Well,
kind of interesting. Wouldn't you want that thin?
It's funny that you said that because after the game was over, my parents were there, and Ruff and Jen Sarnowski, who are Escanaba natives, as my parents are as well, Mr. Sarnowski, Coach Sarnowski, you know, and he was a coach at the Sioux for a long time and did a fantastic job with our program. And then he actually went and helped out at Escanaba as a coach and after being
with
a player
Danny
there.
Flynn for many years.
Yeah, and he came out and said, that's the first thing he said, was how long the grass was. You know,
I couldn't believe it.
And we noticed it as well, but, you know, that's not going to bother us because we're going to
ground it. It plays right to your strengths.
Pound, absolutely. So not that it had a big effect, but it was a surprising factor, I guess.
Yeah, and that was something I kind of made note of, you know, a mental note. I just found it interesting, especially if you're Escanaba. And granted, they have a weird schedule. They're only playing three home games all in a row and then six on the road.
Yeah, it's
tough.
And
they're not happy about that either over there. You could tell because they filled the, you know, they had a good crowd for, you know, a late August game. And that's a football town. But, you know, back to the game the other night, and, you know, I thought some great adjustments, as you would expect, by Gordy Campbell, you know, with his defense at halftime, that your team was able to, you know, defensively really take Escanaba off their square a little bit. They were still able to move the ball through the air, but the back-breaking play was, you know, Carter Oshelski's, you know, 73-yard pick six. And that really kind of put them on their heels because now you've gone to a three-score game, and that really gave Sioux High separation. And I, as I said in the wrap-up of the game on the morning show on Friday, that was the back-breaking play right there.
It was. But, you know, Dave, when you think about our defense, Coach Campbell and Brendan Kreiderman, who's our defensive assistant coach, they really had a great game plan because, you know, when Escanaba had to resort to the run, which if you remember, they were inside our 10 twice in that first half.
Correct.
And we stopped them on downs and then were able to get the
critical
ball out of the zone. Those were huge stops for us and allowed our offense to get a little bit of breathing room. You know, Adam Horgan had a huge sack on, I think, their first drive inside our red zone, which really kind of took them out of position. But, you know, as we got into that second half, you know, as far as an adjustment, we just decided, you know, we just looked at it. You know, our best plays were between the tackles, And we just tried to get inbound. We took 7 minutes off the clock, you know, in that third quarter. And then Carter's interception was, like you said, it was the backbreaker.
And it just you could tell the confidence your kids had at that point.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It was just building and building.
Yep.
You know, we talk about Gordy and the great job he's done with the defensive front and the defensive core and Brendan with him. And we've kind of hit on a little bit. And it was something I really want to focus on. And we've talked about it a bit. You know, the last couple years, but you really could see it the other night, is your line play.
Yep.
And just the big uglies, just the big physical line. And, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, a tip of the cap to Matt Johnson and what
Absolutely.
He's done.
Yes.
I mean, we talk about Gordy. We've had some great assistant coaches over the years. You know, Brad Bovin does a great job with your offense. Mike Lynn over the years was tremendous back in the day when, you know, early on when you were coaching the varsity, when we were getting to the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
Right.
And now you have another staple, and that's the line play. And it's a credit to the kids, credit to Gordy, of course, getting him in the weight room with his
absolutely.
Weight room that he has at his
Without
place.
A doubt.
And to have a guy like Matt Johnson, who has really turned into a very good line coach, so, you know, the proof's in the pudding here.
It is, and, you know, and Matt takes a lot of pride in that. And I think the boys who play up front do, you know, oftentimes, sometimes linemen, obviously, they get overlooked, but. You know, I talk about them with pride. I talk to our running backs about how important those guys up front are. And, you know, one of the things that we decided to do, you know, a couple of years ago was really emphasize, you know, more specifics on the line play. And when Matt came around, you know, he really just really got the intricacies and the specialties of what, you know, certain plays and what certain defensive fronts call for. You know, and those guys really take to it. And, you know, we've been able to bring some young guys up as sophomores and let them kind of learn the ropes. And when they're juniors and seniors, which is what you're seeing now with Adam Horrigan, who's a 3-year starter, and John Burke, who's a 3-year starter. And, you know, James Smith is our center. He's a 2-year starter. Chris Kike for Navin Arbic, we took up last year as sophomores. They learned a ton. And now as juniors, you know, they're anchoring the left side of the line. And even, you know, we again, when Matt came aboard, we kind of took what we used to consider just being a flexible running back and saying, okay, this guy's the right half, this guy's the left half, and this guy's the full. And now it's this guy's the half, this guy's the full, and this guy's the wing back. And he goes with the line. George Bauman was there the other night, Nick Albacall, Caden Lujan, the Gravel boys. You know, so even that edge with the and the tight ends with the Gravels, and we've had Callen last year, you know, those guys are all linemen to us. And they really work together well as a unit. And again, a lot of that credit has to go to Matt Johnson.
Matt's done a tremendous job with that play. I wanted to bring that up. And, you know, coming into the year, a lot of unknowns, especially when, you know, you lose some veteran guys that have been there. And the one that we talked about at the pancake breakfast was quarterback play. A lot of questions were answered, I thought, the other night. Callen was tremendous.
He was. You know, and we have big plans for Callen. But, you know, Dave, when you get into a situation like we had the other night where, you know, the run game was working so well, you know, that we really didn't need Callen to take it upon himself to run the ball. And he got his first downs when he did. He got a couple touchdowns with his legs. He made some huge plays with his arms. That pass to Max just before the half was a huge momentum shifter for
Critical
us.
Play.
Yes. And then we had a 17-yard throw to Joey Gravel and another one later in the game to Carter Oshelski, both on third and longs that extended our drives. And, you know, when we talked about this back in February with Callen, you know, I didn't know how he would take it. He's run with it. And he's done a fantastic job. I think now, you know, how fortunate we are to have a guy like Callen after having a guy like Jacob. You know, they're two completely different skill sets. They're two completely different, you know, body shapes. But there's not much difference between the two. I think that Callen, you know, catching a ball and learning from Jake for 2 years.
The intelligence.
Yeah,
the
I mean, the
mental
football IQ,
aspect,
right?
Yep.
I mean, in Callen, I mean, I was just looking at some pictures from the last time we played in Alpena, and we were in the huddle, and there was Callen. Callen was the water boy, he's an eighth grader, and he was right in the huddle paying attention. So I think he watched Jacob. I think he learned, and obviously being around Gordy and being around the gym and being around all the guys, you know, I just think he did a phenomenal job. And it's just nice to not have to really be concerned about that position, even though you just lost a four-year starter, because you have a guy of Callen's caliber.
And we've talked about how great Jake was and everything, and you know, now he's gone at Elma. But still, I just thought of this. His imprint on this team is still there from a standpoint of what you just said.
Sure.
You know, and that's saying something, too.
It is, because, you know, like I said, with Adam and John, okay, the main two of our mainstays on the offensive line, you know, those guys played with Jacob for 2 years as well, mm-hmm. you know, as did Callen. We brought all those guys up the same year. It's also guys like, you know, John Robinson, who was crucial to – you know, how we kind of defend in the defensive backfield position. And Ryan LaPlante was just a good mentor to all of our young running backs. So, you know, and we lost a lot with those guys. But I think, you know, they're, like you said, their impact, their influence is still being felt with the group of guys we have right now.
Dave Watson with head coach of Blue Devil football, Scott Menard, here at Applebee's in their first coach's corner of the season. And, you know, when he first went back to pass, Callen did, you kind of hold your breath, you don't know what you're going to get, but you could see the arm strength was there, and that was nice to see. And it's going to get more comfortable as he goes. And the other part of the thing is you found out, you know, an identity with your running game. Cale Bell was outstanding.
He was.
River Reckingham, oh, my goodness, mm-hmm. those two long runs. I mean, you have about four or five different backs you can throw, and then there's Callen himself that can run. You have all kinds of a variety of things you can go to.
Well, you know the guy, I mean, if you look at what we have, you know, we lost our entire backfield last year. To have the kind of game that Callen had, but to then say, okay, we lost Ryan LaPlante. You know, he rushed for 900 yards as a senior. You know, and then you get a sophomore, Cale Bell. You know, and you know, Cale had 177 yards. We take him out. We bring in Nick Albacall, who's a senior who's been kind of slowed by a hamstring injury, and we don't lose a step.
Well, he had a few good chunk plays.
He did. You know, and then River. You know, River ran for 232 yards, Dave. I since maybe Raynell Anderson in 2013, I don't think we've had a kid that's run for that many yards in a game. And I'm not sure if Raynell had that many. You know, maybe a 250, I think, once against Sheboygan. But that 95-yard run, I was talking with Scott Church this morning, that could be the longest run in Sioux High history.
I was thinking that.
I don't know if I know in my time, I don't know if I've ever seen a kid have a run like that.
I thought of Pat Bennett, my old partner, the new Sioux High.
Well, I know Pat never had a 95-yard run. I know that.
To the buffet, maybe?
Maybe, that's
but,
true.
Well, he's wading in shallow water, hoping not to drown. I hope he has his life vest on, because he's probably not much of a swimmer, of course, enjoying the sunshine this morning. But he made the comment that the one issue in the past, you know, the last couple of years, you didn't have that game breaker.
Right.
You had Jake running the show in a methodical type, but you didn't have that game breaker. We may have found it in River.
Yeah, you know, we talked about the idea of, you know, how many big plays we had Thursday night. You know, Carter's interception. River had a 55-yard run in addition to a 95-yard run. We kind of joke with Cale that if he was faster, he would have had a 55-yard run, but we haven't had that, you know, and we've got a nice balance now. And the great thing about that is, you know, Callen's a junior. Cale's a sophomore. River's a junior. I mean, this backfield will be back there next year. But again, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, it begins and ends with those guys up front.
Yes, it does. And you mentioned Adam Horrigan before we take a break here. You know, I was thinking this on the way home, you know, because John Burke, of course, is going to go on to CMU. If Adam Horrigan doesn't get a D2 look in college football, whether it's Northern Michigan, Michigan Tech, or even a Ferris State, I mean, you're blind, because this kid, I think, could play at the next level.
He's got a great engine. He's
had a big sack early in the game.
Yeah, he's strong, and he's a smart kid. These guys are all smart kids up front, which is where we really have an advantage, I think, sometimes, because they can recognize things, they communicate well, and, yeah, I mean, he's just been, you know, he's been as great, like I said, like John and the rest of those guys have been.
The one thing you look at to work on next week, and you mentioned it, Ryan mentioned it on the air, is we lost a lot in the defensive backfield.
Yep.
It showed a little bit.
Yep.
Obviously, you're able to overcome it. I thought those guys did a good job of having a good second half and breaking up plays and some good coverage, but did get beat on the deep ball at times. So if you're a nitpicking, obviously that would be one area to chore up.
Oh, for sure. You know, and Coach Campbell talked about it at half and after the game. But, again, you know, I think anybody – you know, that faces a high school team that's going to throw, you know, I'm guessing, Dave, they must have thrown at least 40 times. I mean, you're going to give up a player or two. You just are. It's high school football. You just are.
But we're probably not going to see a team throw as much as we saw Thursday. To your point.
But again, Rivers back there, Sebastian's back there, Max is back there, Carter's back there. You know, my son Billy's back there, Joey Gravel's back there. I mean, we've got some players back
Timmy
there.
Timmy Garland.
But there is some inexperience, and that's one thing. Like I said, that we were concerned about. But as the game went on, I thought they got better. I thought they got more confident. And, yeah, we'll still work with them, and it's still an area of concern, but I don't think it's as much of a concern as maybe it was at the start of the game.
No, because it certainly looked good all around the other night. When we come back, we'll meet the team. There's a lot of players on the roster. That's good to see. And we'll talk about the team itself with Coach Menard talking Blue Devil football. We'll take a two-minute timeout and be back in a moment. This is Coach's Corner at Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And we're back at Coach's Corner here at 11:31 this morning here at Applebee's. Dave Watson along with Scott Menard here at Applebee's for our first Coach's Corner of the season. And let's meet the Blue Devil football team for this season. And if I make a mistake on pronunciations, Coach will correct me. And a lot of players on the roster. I think we're now up to 42.
I think we're at 38.
Okay,
right,
38.
Now. We had a couple
guys
that did make it through the first couple of weeks, but I think that's a solid number for us.
Okay. All right. And they here are the players on the roster, including number one Will Oman, and he is a junior. Senior number two Max Scott. Max had a big catch the other night. Coach mentioned it in our last segment. He's a senior. And then you have number three, Sebastian Salcido Arroyo. He is a senior and has played very well on the defensive backfield. Number five is Jack Henderson. He's a junior. Number seven, Jaden Wishmawi.
Yep.
He is a junior. And number nine, Dejon Willis, plays a little bit in the DB backfield as well.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Dejon.
He played well.
One other one of our defensive backs played very well.
Yes, he did. He's a senior. And number 10, and I had him on during the pancake breakfast, one of the five players that Of course, Allison Campbell brought to us Timmy Garland. I was joking with him. I said, Timmy, I think you've been with the Sioux High football longer than Coach Menard.
It does seem like that way. Yeah, he's been around a while. Well, we brought him up with I believe that was the class we brought up. Callan was a freshman, and Tim and Adam Horrigan and John were sophomores.
He's been very good for Sioux High football on and off the field. A great kid. He was great on the air with us, and great locker room guy, contributes on the field,
yep.
And that's good to see. Number 15, new player, but not new to the Sioux High realm, and that is Carter Olszewski. Had that interception return for a touchdown of 73 yards. He's a senior. Number 20 is Evan Stevenson, senior. Number 22, Alexander Jasek, senior. He played a little bit. I thought he looked good the other night.
He did. You know, Brad and I coach Alex in track, Alex had a really good track year, and I just said, listen, man, I said, I don't know what you're doing your senior year, but I think you'd be a heck of a football player. And to Alex's credit, he showed up the first time we had a workout in June and got all his, you know, his little inexperienced things out of his way. So now he looks like a seasoned runner, and he is, I mean, I'd look at him as saying, you know, even though Rivers is our number one guy, Alex is almost 1A because Alex can do some things between the tackles, and I see that, you know, if we need to, Alex has came in and gave us a couple of really great carries the other night.
The aforementioned number 24, River Rakigam, who had two big touchdown runs, 95 yards and 56 yards, and he is a junior, and he was brought up about three, four games into last year,
yep,
and made an impact last year, and we're certainly seeing the impact he's made already this season. Number 28, hockey player, and also a young man that part of the group here with Kurt Olszewski that I think your veteran players, hey, guys, why don't you
absolutely
come and play some football?
Yep.
You were out there, as you mentioned, too, getting kids new to the program. George Bauman, he's a senior and a wing back position, and a kid that will get some playing time as well for Sioux High. Number 30 is Ethan McDonald. His senior soccer player, also doing the kicking duties. He eased him in the other night and missed the first one, but then he hit a couple extra points, and that's big to have in the kicking game.
It is. You know, it was a pretty intense, I think, intimidating situation. We did the same with Cole last
year.
Yes. You know, we didn't throw him right in there. We tried to go for two a couple times. I did want to just give a shout-out to Al
MacArthur.
He's been more than you know, he's been very flexible and he's been very welcoming as far as us trying to have this relationship. We had it with Cole Hawker last year. You know, Ethan's down playing soccer right now, but he went on the road trip with us the other night. So it's been a very nice coexistence with us in the soccer program.
You know, and that really says something because, you know, not every coach was willing to do it. And, you know, we understand, you know, you're focusing on your program,
yep.
But that says something about the class of Al MacArthur. You know,
it absolutely
he's a
does.
Sioux High guy, number one.
He's a great guy, and he's been a great coach, and like I said, a great help to our program as
A huge addition for the coaching, the coaching tree at Sioux High with that soccer program.
Yep.
He's in. They have improved leaps and bounds, and working with allowing his players to go play in a football game and kick some extra points or a field goal or two. That really helps because that's really a big part of the game.
It is.
Sometimes it gets overlooked.
Look at the Gladstone game last year, Dave. I mean, Cole kissed three field goals. Otherwise, we're not even in the game.
Exactly.
So that was huge. And so it's very nice to have Ethan and you know, be part of both of those programs.
Number 33 is Nathan Kep, of course, a big contributor to the boys' basketball program.
Yep.
He's a junior. And then you have another Denuncio McShane, number 34, Dan Denuncio McShane. He's a junior. And number 40, Kale Bell, a sophomore, and 173 yards the other night and a couple of touchdowns. What an opener that was for Kale, as he is just a sophomore paying big dividends already.
Yeah, you know, Kale's got a great engine, but he's got a great read. He's got a great field vision. I mean, he really, you watched the game the other night, and I got a chance to watch the game film yesterday, and just to see some of the cuts and the moves he made and the patience he showed with the blockers in front of him, it was a phenomenal game for him.
And he was outstanding, was Kale the other night. Number 42 is Nick Albacall, veteran player, a senior. Number 44, Callan Campbell, veteran player, junior. Caden Lujan, number 45, he's a junior. Calvin Aldrich, number 50, he's a sophomore. Number 54 is Owen Clayton, he's a senior. 55 is Dylan Menard, he's a senior. Number 57 is James Smith, a senior. 59 doing kickoff duties, punting. Chris Kiekhafer, also on the line, a junior. Number 60, Carson Cronemeyer, is a junior. 66, we haven't talked much about him, but I think this young man is somebody to watch on that line, too. 66, Evan Arvik, he's a junior for Sioux High. 67th, Parker Talentino, a senior. And number 70, Adam Horrigan, a senior. 71 is Timmy Eddington, he's a junior. Number 73, John Burke, he's a senior. John, of course, going to play at CMU. And, you know, that's another thing to talk about, you know, John Burke, Scotty. That has to be the earliest signing or announcement for a Sioux High player for college football I've heard in a while. And the fact, D1 at that, tells you what the coach at CMU there, the veteran coach from Florida, and now at CMU, McElwain, what they think of John Burke to seal him up that quickly. That says something, and that's huge for Sioux High football.
It is. You know, their offensive line coach came up, I think it was in April. I was getting ready to go to a track meet, and he came in and said, listen, I want to talk to John Burke. And he told us in the meeting, the three of us, he said, I got to get Max okay. We want John to come down to a camp, but it was up to me. I'd sign him right now. And that opened both of our eyes. And it's huge for Sioux High because, again, you know, the early
history
signing.
History-making.
Yeah, but in the early signing. And I don't know if we've had a guy go and play, you know, extensively D1 since maybe Max Kowacki back in the early 90s when he went to Central.
He played in the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the only other one was Wakeman played at Toledo.
Oh, yeah, God, I can't forget Chris. Chris had a great career at Toledo
as
well in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and that was history-making, too. But after those two guys, you're right. I mean, but that's just huge for Sioux High football, but for UP football.
Oh, without a doubt.
All the way across the board.
Yeah.
I remember getting a call from Jack Hall or a text, and like, wow, that's big,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it hasn't happened that often. But that was great to see there. Number 75 is Jeffrey Bennett. He's a junior. 76 is Jeffrey Schroeder. He's a junior. 81 is Johnny Gravel. He is a junior. Joey Gravel, number 82, of course, top tight end for Sioux High, is a junior and caught a big two-point conversion. This next young man, the coach knows quite well, his son, number 85, Billy Menard. I can't believe he's a senior.
Nope, no, I cannot either.
Wow, yeah, we're getting old.
We are, Dave.
Emphasis
are.
On you.
Yeah.
But Billy's a senior, gets out there for special teams, and of course, he's been around football his whole life with the coaching tree he's had around him between your dad, yourself, and your brother, Buzz.
Yep.
But that's great to see with Billy. And number 88 is Cameron Akins. And also we have 35, Zach Benoit, and 56, Dominic Cremines. And that is the team, 38 players in the varsity, good numbers at the JV level. But yep. Talk about that varsity roster and thoughts as a whole on the young men that make up Sioux High varsity football.
Well, you know, like I said, one of the first thing I'll say is again, that the guys that we have who are still or who have been around, and I failed to mention a very important player on our team, which is Caden Lujan. He came up as a freshman with Callen, and we brought him up to senior. We brought up Tim, we brought up Adam, we brought up John. You know, those guys have been the foundation for a couple of years. And the, one of the things that's happened, whether it's the fact that we've had some success as a program or the fact that the guys on our team, you know, are such good guys, is that they're, you know, they were able to kind of convince, as well as I think I had a little bit of say in that and some other coaches, to get some of these athletes from these other sports and convince them that football is something that's going to help you and that you're going to have fun doing it. You know, so, you know, when you look at this roster and you say, Carter Oshelsky, Max Scott, you know, who played last year but wasn't, you know, didn't play football his first 2 years. Carter's first year. George Bauman hasn't played in 2 years. Alex Jasek. I mean, you know, Nate Kep, Danny McShane, Danucci McShane. We're getting some guys that are coming from other sports that weren't traditionally football players that are coming out to play, and it's just building our depth. It's making us better in practice. You know, and we have opportunities to do some things that we haven't been able to do because we're getting some of these guys, and a lot of that has to do with our core group of football players who have, you know, made our program sound attractive and appealing. And when the guys get in, you know, I talked to Alex after the game, and, you know, he said that was a heck of a lot of fun. And I, you know, I joked when Carter came off after he scored the touchdown, I turned to all the guys on our team and I said, can you believe this guy's never played football before? And we all had a good laugh at that. And I just think that, you know, we have such a good mix of personalities, of skill levels, and we're getting some of these athletes who traditionally hadn't played in the past to come out. And, you know, when you see success from guys like that, you know, this is an open invitation. Anybody that's not playing football right now, that plays another sport, you know, you're not going to not have a good time. You're going to have a great time, and you're going to, you know, you're going to enjoy it. And I think these guys are ambassadors of that whole idea.
Well, in, you know, where we live, you know, of course, hockey is the sport when you think of
sure.
in this area. That's been where our best athletes have been, you know, because, you know, they live it. It's around it. You know, there's always ice to be had somewhere. And, we, you know, of course, we've had a very good high school program. And I've always said, you know, a couple of years ago, and it's, you know, no reason, because, of course, I know you got a great relationship with Coach Mackey.
Absolutely.
And the crew with Sioux High Hockey. But it was a couple of years, the last couple of years, we didn't have a hockey player. I noticed that. It's like, I wonder, you know, because I love to see hockey players because those are our best athletes in
yep.
particular. And now we have a couple more, you know, on there this year. And that's good to see, too, because, you know, that is, you know, the one sport in this area that I think that everybody goes to because, you know, this is a hockey town. But
yeah.
I think we've, last few years, not to interrupt Scotty, but
no, you're right.
we have kind of turned in the corner where we're getting known for football now.
Yeah,
we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there. But, you know,
it isn't 20 some years ago when I played or when you played when, you know, I remember, I think we started 3-0, and Scott Rath was our running back. He was running like a deer, and we were getting ready for Sheboygan. And I remember going home and all beat up, and because I did play, folks. I actually did start, but people would laugh at me now. But I walked in my parents' kitchen, and my sister goes, after a 66-0 loss to Sheboygan, she goes, there's the Sioux High football we all know and love. You know, that was the joke.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Around. But we're a long ways from that now.
Yeah, you know, and Rick's been great. Rick and Rich Roach and Rex and the hockey staff, they've been phenomenal with us, working with us as well. And, you know, they have ice time in the summer, the same nights that we have. And Rick's been great about letting those, having those guys, you know, leave hockey to come to football. And like I said, you know, the one thing that years ago that we talked about that we're kind of seeing come to fruition now is, you know, we're seeing a much better, I think, a relationship between the Sioux High coaching staff.
And continuity.
Continuity. I don't just mean football. I mean football and hockey and track and basketball and soccer. I mean, you know, we get a lot of contributions and a lot of help and you know, from, you know, Fitz does a great job for us as far as being a basketball coach, but he's very complimentary of our program, and you know, he's very encouraging to some of those guys, and you know, we have a lot of basketball players that come up and play football, so it's a nice thing to see, because I think, you know, football's not the be-all end-all to anything, but I do think it makes you a better, well-rounded athlete when you're playing your football or your soccer, and then you're getting into basketball and hockey, and then you have your track and your wrestling and your cross country and baseball, and we have a lot of three-sport athletes, and I don't see that how that hurts a kid, and I think that we're very fortunate to have the coaching staff across the board that we do.
No question about it, and we'll have more with Coach Menard in a moment. We'll talk schedule and how the future looks with that, and, of course, things are ever-changing and evolving and all kinds of more stuff ready in the hopper when we return at Coach's Corner with Coach Menard talking Blue Devil football. Back in 2 minutes on 1230 WSOO. Welcome back as we wrap up here in that last segment with Coach Menard talking Blue Devil football. Sioux High winning the other night over Escanaba 46-19. They have their home opener coming up Thursday, Grayling.
Dave, can you say that one more time?
Opening win over Escanaba 46-19 on the road.
Loved on the road.
On
Thank
the
you.
Road.
Love to hear it.
I texted Scott after the game. I said, how about this? I said, it's nice. Boy, is it, even as a broadcaster, as I hopped in the car there at 10 o'clock at night, you know, boy, is it nice to leave the Central UP, because it don't happen very often. You know, I'm sure you said embrace this to your kids, because they did something that I don't think it's been done.
Yep.
You know, we can remember.
Yep.
You know, it's probably grandfathers and great-grandfathers if it
Absolutely,
has happened.
For sure.
And, you know, it's something to certainly embrace. It's a big benchmark win the other night. Grayling's coming up to start Northern Michigan Football Conference play. Come on out and see this team, folks. If you got nothing going on Thursday, hopefully we get good weather. Come on out to the Van Sitters Field for the home opener. 7 o'clock kickoff. I'll be on the air at 6:35. Bring your Bluetooth headphones with you. Have us on the TuneIn app. Ryan Wolin and I will be on the air. But come on out and see this team play. I tell you what, you will be impressed, because they are fun to watch. They certainly were last week. And before we talk schedule, I wanted to mention this. You mentioned it on your Facebook page, the Blue Devil Facebook page. You had some issues before you left. Some transportation issues, a charter bus breakdown, and our new athletic director already making his money, and that's why I was so happy. You know, Steve Lockwood did a great job, but if you're going to replace a guy in a position, you want a no-doubter. And Pat Bennin's a no-doubt pick as an AD, because he knows the landscape. He's been around sports, high school sports. He's not afraid to have tough conversations and be curt, which you need that. And he took that ball and ran with it. Him and Jimmy Casey. He had a volunteer bus driver that stepped up to the plate.
Brian White, who's he works. He's got a kid on the team, and you know, he was going to go to the game, and he had drove our bus to the UP finals for track in the spring. He was like, man, I'd love to drive you guys if we get a chance. Well, all our trips are over 3 hours, so it just makes more sense to take a charter. But he stepped up. You know, Pat got him on the horn. Jimmy said, I'll bring the equipment in a trailer, and I'll bring that, you know, on my truck. And, you know, those three guys rallied us. And again, you know, just kudos to those guys.
And I'll explain for people that may, you know, not realize this. It's more problematic to take a high school or a school bus for a football team, because there's nowhere to put the equipment. Underneath where you can storage. So you have to, you know, hook up a trailer. Bus drivers, you know, sometimes don't like to do that.
Yeah, you can't even do that with the bus anymore.
You used to be able to, but that's a rule now. Jimmy hooked it up to his truck and drove it up there. So that's why they have – that's another reason why you got a charter, because you have to bring that trailer. Otherwise, how are you going to get the equipment up there? Yep. And so there's all that. So that's why you see charters with hockey and football, because they have a lot of equipment. But I'll tell you what, it takes a village, and those guys stepped up. Pat, in particular – getting on the horn and getting you a bus at the last second just to get up there.
Yeah, because, Dave, this happened as the bus was entering Sault Ste. Marie and some debris shot up and severed some coolant lines. So, Dave, this was at 1:15. We were supposed to leave at 1:30. Between 1:15 and 1:45, Pat got on the horn, Brian went and got the bus, Jimmy went and got the trailer. We were on the road at 1:45.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. That says something there, because time is of the essence in that situation. I know all about that, doing these games all the years. When you have issues, I mean, and I have, whether it's transportation, setup of the broadcast, I know all about that. It's kind of goes hand in hand. Now to the schedule, we'll talk more about the fact that it's evolving, it's going to continue to evolve, probably the last year in the Northern Michigan Football Conference.
At least for the near future,
Because the system with the playoffs, where it's predicated on strength of schedule, Suhai was 6-3, they were one of six teams, I believe, that didn't make the playoffs last year, and unfortunately for us, we were in a packed competitive division in Division 4, which I think I heard you say, if we were in D3, we probably would have got
in. We would have last year, we would have made it as D3. D4 was, I think,
loaded.
Had the most... I'm probably going to be wrong on this, but I heard someone say that D4 had, as far as the playoff numbers, the most competitive set of playoff teams of any of the divisions. So it was just, just the way it went, and that's why we had to make some changes this year.
And this year the changes were Escanaba week one, week eight, Petoskey at home, and then the slate will be Grayling at home coming up this Thursday, week three, and a Friday. The rest will be Fridays other than one game in week four, which is on a Saturday. Week three, Sheboygan, the rivalry game, and then week four will be at home against Superior Heights of Sault Ontario on a Saturday, doubleheader day, JVs and the varsity.
Yep.
And then week five, West Branch at Ogama Heights in conference. Week six at Kingsley. This is when it gets real tricky.
Three.
I'll throw Ogama in there.
Yeah.
But the two biggins back-to-back at Kingsley, and then back to the Cherry Capital the following Saturday, and it'll play Traverse City St. Francis on a Saturday at 1, and then week 8 is Petoskey at home, and then you finish up with Benzie Central, so certainly a little more beef on that schedule.
Yeah, I mean, we looked. Grayling won, Sheboygan won, Ogama got beat, Kingsley won, St. Francis won, Petoskey got beaten overtime to Ludington, and Benzie won. So, I mean, there's no cupcakes on this schedule. This is as difficult a schedule as we've had in many a year.
Looking towards the future, things are evolving, could change, perhaps an assemblance of the Big North Football Conference.
Yep.
Of course, Traverse Cities are not in that. They're in the Saginaw Valley Conference.
Right.
They're in basketball, but the conference will be different in football. Petoskey, Alpena, Gaylord, maybe Cadillac. Cadillac is one of those schools, I'll say it, and Coach can be silent if he wants to. Some schools are afraid of the UP. I had this joke with some Escanaba people the other day. Even Sault Ste. Marie, that's all I-75 up here, they don't want to come up here. Even in the fall, there's no snow yet. But Cadillac is kind of heads in their bets a little bit, but they still could be involved. Then you have Marquette Escanaba, which is huge for Sault Ste. High to be in there. That's the talk that could happen next year. We hope that's the case.
And it sounds like it's going to be, again, I think the conference that we're in, which we, they've been very good to us. Every we're the outsider, but everywhere we've gone, they've just been as if we've been in the conference for years. And we really enjoy being there. They've got a great group of coaches that I get a chance to talk to a couple times a year, and obviously on Friday nights. But as far as the relevance to playoff points, this is a much better fit and makes more sense for us. We renew some traditional rivalries with Gaylord, Nalpena, and Petoskey. We can maintain our games with Marquette and Escanaba. And then we, if Cadillac decides to get involved, our hope is that we can continue a relationship with Sheboygan. in Ogama Heights, who have been now obviously Sheboygan much longer, but traditional
probably
rivals.
Superior Heights in there as well.
And then see if Superior Heights or Cora Collegiate or one of the other schools across the river want to maintain a relationship that we kind of had severed a few years ago. So it's just the nature of where we are right now, and with so many teams going to eight-man football, it's hard to find 11-man programs that are, you know, that are Division four, three, or four, or five. And yeah, we have to do some traveling, but I think it's a good mix. I think it's something that's been overdue as far as this potential new Big North. And, you know, whatever happens with Cadillac or whoever else, maybe somebody else decides to get in, it's something that we're looking forward to.
You know, you look at, you know, a lot of schools are in this, especially in the UP. Menominee, they're playing in week two a team from the Chicago area.
Yeah.
You know, because they couldn't find a game that is close as far as to a Division 5 or 6, whatever they are. That's in, they're in that boat in the southwestern end of the UP, and that's just where we're at in that situation. But, Coach, certainly sounds good, and looking forward to, again, Thursday and Blue yep. Devil football in their home opener against Grayling, and congrats on the win. Thanks for joining us here on Coach's Corner.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. You've been a great friend of the program, and you know, anything we can do to help you out, just let us know.
All right, we'll certainly be glad to be there for you. And it's Coach Menard as Sioux High again beat Escanaba 46-19 the other night, and they're 1-0 on the campaign. I have to say that before the coach bails out here, because certainly puts a smile on all our faces. We're at Tiger Baseball tonight, 6:45 on Radio Sioux against Texas. Thanks a lot, Scotty. Great to see you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, and Tiger Baseball will have 6:45 Eduardo Rodriguez against Dallas Keuchel here on Radio Sioux. Lions preseason football over on Oldies 93 tomorrow, 4:30 against Pittsburgh. Sioux High football is home opener Thursday at the Van Sitters, 6:35 of the kickoff show here on Radio Sioux. Ryan Wolin and I will have the call here on Radio Sioux. Coach's Corner returns next Saturday, 11:05 a.m. till noon here at Applebee's. Replays of Coach's Corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation at 1230 WSOO. For today's broadcast engineer, Matt Pocket, the gang here at Applebee's, I'm Dave Watson, and that will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.